Warm greetings to all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The wise Moses in Psalm 90 tells us that the average age of mankind is 80 years. And by reason of strength, we may increase it to another 10 years to 80. But this same strength, the Bible tells us, also by Moses, is labor and sorrow. And then very soon, this body of ours will be cut off and we fly away. Death is something we try our best to avoid. Death is something that we try not to contemplate. It is something that we try to push as far away as possible. And so we have people who tell us, eat this food, cut down your cholesterol, take vitamins, exercise, and do a lot of things to try to push this thing called death away from us. But we all know that no matter how we push and push and push, we can only push so much, isn't it? Because you know that you can't push death away. When death comes, death is so powerful that he doesn't care who you are. You could be very young. You may think that you have a whole life ahead of you. But when death knocks on your heart's door, he comes in. He cuts away your life. And you fly away. If you do not believe this, take a slow walk in Choa Chu Kang Cemetery. And you're going to find people of all ages lying in the grave. You have those who are more than 80 years old. And you find those who are less than 1 year old. The youngest person I ever conducted the service was about 6 months old. The father walked in. There was no coffin in front. The father walked in with the coffin. It was white in color. It was no bigger than this size. He held it in his two hands. There were no friends of this little baby. The baby never lived for long enough to make any friends. And so you have the father, grieving mother, and then a couple of relatives. That was all, less than 10 people. It was held at the Garden of Remembrance. Nobody was around except the few family members. I shared from the Word of God, not so much to pray for the baby, but to comfort the bereaved family. And then immediately after that, we all adjourned to the cemetery. I got lost. I did not know that there was a special part of Choa Chu Kang Cemetery just for babies. I went to the usual place where there were a lot of tombstones for adults, but there was no one around. They left first. And so I saw from a distance a few people gathered under a tree in one small insignificant corner of Choa Chu Kang Cemetery. So as I drove nearer, I recognized the parents. And then when I went there, I noticed that there were a lot of tiny little burial plots, little tombstones for babies. The hole was not deep, maybe about a foot and a half. The father walked toward the hole. He stepped in. He laid the tiny little coffin into the ground. Very different from the usual. There was no excavator there to cover it up. It was very quiet. It was very solemn. Death is no respecter of age. Death is also no respecter of status. You can be very rich. You can be a billionaire, a multi-millionaire, Again, when death knocks, your money will not buy you one extra second. You die. You go out to the tombstone, and you take another walk, and you find the names of the very rich in Singapore lying in there, next to the poor, next to the pauper. It makes no difference after death what status or position you have on this earth. You are buried in the ground like everybody else. You can be the most powerful man on earth. Surround yourself by an elite army of commandos, specially trained forces. Again, when death knocks, useless, no weapons, no guns, no door, no safe, nothing can keep death away. You can lock yourself in the safest room where no bugs or no bacteria, no virus can come in. And when death knocks, you die. No love is strong enough to also prevent death. He doesn't care whether you love your wife, your husband, your son, your daughter. He doesn't care whether you have plans for them. He doesn't care whether you want to see them grow up, to have a life of their own. He will separate you. He will tear you asunder when it is time. That's what life is, isn't it? A life full of sorrows, but the greatest sorrow is the death of a loved one. The deeper, the stronger the love, the deeper the pain. And so for some of us, we try to have not so many friends. And if we have friends, we keep them at a distance because they dare not and they cannot take the pain of the loss of a loved one who dies. But you know that is not reality, isn't it? No matter how you try to run and avoid, you and I are made by God to love. To love for things, to love for people. That's our problem. We get all confused. So much so that sometimes we love things more than we love people. It was a very sad thing to hear on the news. One day when I heard an elderly lady was interviewed, and then she said, "I would rather live with my pet dog than with my husband. I divorce my husband, I keep my dog." That's a very sad, sad statement, isn't it? For a human being to find more solace and comfort from a dog who can't respond, can't communicate, can't talk. Well, I'm sorry, those dog lovers, you may think that your dog can talk to you, but that is the deception of Disneyland. Right? Dog can sing, mermaid in the water can sing. I mean, the water, how can sound pass through waters, right? When they can sing, they can dance, they can do all kinds of funny gymnastics inside the water, and they can sing, and we all sing with them. That's the problem. You know they can't communicate with you. They are dogs. If dogs can be man's best friend, better than human, then God does not need to make Eve, because dogs were sent by God for Adam to name. And Adam named every one of them, and dogs were present. And Adam said, "I found none of them a suitable helper for me." And then when he realized in his own heart of hearts that I need a helper that is suitable for me, that's a helpmeet, a helper meet for me, suitable for me. When he realized this, God put him to sleep, and when he woke up, he saw Eve. And then he realized, bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. Now I have found a helper suitable for me, who can share my life with me, who can share my dreams, who can share my hopes, who can share everything with me. Not an animal. That's the world that we're living in. Full of things upside down. How can we replace a human being with an animal? And yet we say it is better. And yet, when that animal dies, you still sorrow, do you not? But when you sorrow for an animal, this passage is not for you. This passage for our consideration, these two short verses, verses 13 and 14, describe the sorrow of saints for saints. It's not even sorrow of saints for unbelievers. It is only for another saint. This passage applies. The Christians in Thessalonica, they were not aware of this truth. The Apostle Paul wanted them to be aware of this truth. He wanted them to understand this truth very, very well, because the church in Thessalonica experienced a certain death inside that church. Saints have died. Now, what exactly does it mean? When Jesus says to us, "Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" We believe in this. And yet, on the other hand, Moses says, 70 years by reason of strength, extended by another 10 years, and then our lives is full of labor and sorrow, and after that, we die, we fly away, we disappear. We know that we will die. We all will die. But for the believer, God says, you cannot be ignorant concerning the death of saints. So much so that when you relate to one another, especially with believers, do it in light of the death of believers. Why do we do that? Why does the Bible say that? Because it is a very important truth that will impact your present life if you understand this truth. You and I can be ignorant of many things. And you can go through life with this ignorance of many things. And it will not impact or affect your life at all. You don't need to know how to fly an airplane to be in an airplane, isn't it? You don't need to know how an airplane works, or how a submarine works, or how so many things in your life, how they actually work. And yet, you use them, you go through life, you don't even have them, but it's okay. We are in a world where information is exploded before our very eyes. So much information is made available, and we are ignorant of so many things, and yet we can go through life happily. But regarding this truth pertaining to death, God says, don't be ignorant. I deliberately will in my heart, Paul says, I don't want anyone of you to be ignorant, brothers, he says. Concerning what? Concerning them which are asleep. Now the word asleep is a word that you find in the Bible that is used by God to describe only the death of saints. Never the death of unbelievers. This word is never used to describe the death of unbelievers. It is used only to describe the death of believers. Now, watch this. Will unbelievers be resurrected from the dead? The answer is yes. There will be two resurrection. One is the resurrection to life, everlasting. The other one is resurrection to damnation. That's for the unbelievers. Where at the end of the millennium, death will be destroyed. The place where the dead goes to, that is hell, will also be destroyed. But before the destruction of death and hell, the Bible tells us God will raise from the dead everyone without exception, including unbelievers at that point in time. What kind of body they're going to have, we are not told, but they will be raised. But God never used sleep to describe them when they die. When unbelievers die, it is permanent. But when believers die, God used sleep. Why did God do that? Because God wants us to understand that when a child of God dies, he sleeps. Because of what Jesus Christ has said, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. That's exactly what it means. You go to sleep, right? We all do. But what do you do after sleep? You wake up. Now that is why God used the word sleep, which accurately described the death of all believers. When you are asleep, there is an English phrase that describes sleep as you are dead to the world. Which is very true, isn't it? When you are sleeping, you are literally dead to the world. What happens in the world? When you are asleep, you are dead to the world. And so it is a very accurate description, because when you die, you are also dead to the world. You do not care whether your coffin has air condition. They're not going to build air-conditioned coffin for you. They're not going to care whether the temperature, whether there's oxygen in there for you to breathe. Dead to the world. You don't care about the stocks and shares. You don't care who's going to be the next president. You're not going to care whether the house is going to be this, the COE is going to be that. You don't care for all these things, isn't it? I mean, if you still care when you are dead, you are in serious trouble. Nobody, you're dead to the world. Literally, you're dead to the world. All the things that seem so significant and important while you're alive are totally irrelevant to somebody who is dead. And when you're sleeping, it's like that, isn't it? But the moment you're awake, things are different. That's why Jesus says, whosoever liveth and believeth in me. That means you have to believe in Jesus while you're alive. The moment you die, you can't believe. There is no second chance salvation in hell. Jesus says, whosoever liveth, that means while you are alive in this body, on this earth, now is the time when you can believe in Jesus Christ, the one whom God sent as his only begotten Son. He sent him onto this earth to die for your sins and for my sins. Because you and I, if you were to die for your sins, you're going to end up in hell for eternity. And then after that, you're going to be sent to the lake of fire to continue eternity. And both places will involve great pain, great gnashing of teeth, and great and severe penalty and punishment. This you cannot avoid. This is reality. This is the penalty that God says, I don't want anyone to end up there. That's why I sent my only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who also willingly agreed with the Father to come down onto this earth to die for you and for me, because that's the only way. Someone must die for your sins, or else you and I have to die for our own sins. That's what Jesus meant. Whosoever liveth, that is right now, and you have to believe, that means all you need to do is to believe in Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins. Because God accepted what Jesus Christ has done for you when he came into this earth and when he died on the cross for our sins. How do we know that God accepted what he has done? Because God demonstrated that acceptance by raising Jesus Christ from the dead. He defeated death, because when Jesus Christ died on that day, death died. That all those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will never die. That's why God used sleep to describe them. And God says, I don't want any one of my children to be ignorant concerning those who are asleep, those who are God's children. That's why he used brethren. Please understand this. Don't shy away from building strong, deep relationships. Don't shy away from loving one another. Because that's exactly what God wants us to do. Yes, there will be great pain. The deeper the love, the stronger the pain. That's why when you go to the vigil service of someone that you hardly know, you go there, it's so hard, it's so difficult, isn't it, to feel the kind of pain that you're supposed to feel when someone dies, because you don't know that person. But when it is somebody that you know very well, somebody that you love very much, like your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister, your friend, whom you know, you have a lot of memories, you have a lot of interaction, you know how deep and how painful it is, isn't it? That kind of pain, you can't describe fully. You have to experience it yourself. And all of us have experienced that Some of us may experience that in the future. You may be too young. But when you grow older, the older you go, you see your friends, you grow, you see your friends leaving this world. You experience the death of loved ones. You can't help but sorrow and weep, because the moment you recall those blessed memories, you recall those times that you had together. And when you go back home after everything is all over, those will be the most difficult moments, because you go back home, you see the bed, you see the chair, you see the cup that the person used to use. Every morning the person used this to drink his coffee, to drink her tea. And then you go to those places where you had dinner with that loved ones. All these will bring back memories. And the moment you have all these memories, tears will well up from within you, and then you will start to cry. Isn't that true? That is what sorrowing is. That's why the Bible tells us, I don't want you to be ignorant when you experience sorrow for loved ones who are believers. And we all will go through this. So don't run away from feelings and relationships with people, especially with Christians. Continue to love as deep as possible, because it will be worth it all. Because that's what life on earth is as Christians, toward one another. You've just been told that one of our members' brother has gone home to be with the Lord. The brother had cancer. The doctor gave him a few more months to live. The cancer was diagnosed only a few months ago. Beyond treatment, because it was too advanced. No point. He was in the hospice. The doctor gave him a few months to live. And that's why when I received the SMS only 2 days ago, yesterday, I was shocked. Because last Thursday when we had Bible study, we prayed for him. We encouraged the brother, who is our member, Gideon, to continue to do what he can to comfort the brother. The best thing was, we thank God that the brother has accepted Christ. And now he has gone home to be with the Lord. He is now asleep. Now, how many of us will go to comfort our brother Gideon? It's between you and the Lord. You do not know the brother. You have not seen the brother. I have not seen the brother. I do not know the brother, but I know Gideon. But times of bereavement, you and I need comfort. But don't run away from feelings and developing relationships, because you're afraid of the pain that comes when sorrow comes. But this is part and parcel of life, isn't it? Don't run away from building bonds and relationships with one another. It is tremendous. Your life can be a great blessing to people. Don't run away. Don't hide. Don't just come to church, do your basic minimum, give your offering, sing your hymns, and then just disappear. Life in church is far more significant than that. And one of the best way to tell, isn't it, is the day when you are no longer around. How many people really notice that they used to sit in this corner, on this particular part of the pew, so and so. And now the person is gone. Because that's who we are, right? I mean, we are people of who likes to sit in the same place. Creatures of habit. That's who we are, right? Isn't it true? You saw this part is where Joisa and family always sits. I mean, you can tell. I mean, I don't think one Sunday here, next Sunday there, next Sunday there, next Sunday there. We don't do that. I mean, nobody assigned you any seat, right? You just assign yourself. It's as if my name is there, okay? This is mine. Actually, that's where my wife used to sit. No, Joey took my wife's place. Actually. Well, next Sunday he will move. My wife will be there. Now, we all have our places. But then suddenly one day, you will not be around. How many people will notice your absence? You've been coming for how many years? And you run away and nobody impacted your life, and you don't impact people's life. Why? Because you're afraid. Afraid of the pain that you may experience because of the loss. You are the loser. when you do not want to share your rich life that God has redeemed with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your life could have been such a great blessing to many, but because you did not avail us the privilege and the opportunity, we could not receive that blessings from you. Do you realize that? And others can be a blessing to you as well, but they could not have the honor and privilege to extend to you and give you the blessings which you ought to have because you are not around. Contact groups, Bible study groups, fellowship groups, church camps, many ministries, smaller in size, best way and the best time for you to be a blessing, for you to build bonds and relationships. We all know that when there is a time for parting, and the parting will come if the Lord tarries. If the Lord does not tarry and the Lord comes, next Sunday's message. But if the Lord tarries, we know we are not going to live forever on this earth. We are not supposed to. We are not meant to live forever on this earth. And we don't want to live forever on this earth because this earth is full of sorrow. You want eternal life on this earth? Yeah, only if you are a multi-millionaire or a multi-billionaire, isn't it? If you are living in the streets from day to day, you do not know when the next meal is going to be, and then somebody says, you eat this pill, you're going to live forever on this earth. Huh? Live forever on this earth? This kind of life? Sorrow and pain and aches and just live forever? You got no money in the bank? You are a bankrupt? Live forever as a bankrupt? Who wants? You want? Nobody wants. In their right mind, nobody wants, isn't it? But if you are a multi-millionaire, you have millions and millions of dollars, you have homes everywhere, and then somebody tells you, you want to live forever on this earth? Of course! See, this is our concept of life on this earth, isn't it? Everything is based upon the material and the external and the circumstances. That is not life. That is living death. Because everything that you own on this earth, you know you can lose them just like that. And one day you will. The Bible tells us the Antichrist will own this earth and he will rule this world. No man can buy or sell. That means economic sanction will be upon every individual without his mark. That means overnight he will take control of every cent you own on this earth. Every bank account you have will suddenly be no longer yours. Without his mark, you can't take anything out. You realize that? That's why life on earth must not be eternal life on earth. It must be only life on earth in Christ. That's why when a believer dies, it is called sleeping. Because you will wake up one day. And God says, please, as Christians, understand this regarding the death of another Christian, so that you will know the hope. That's what you find in the second half of verse 13. That ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. That you will not continue to sorrow as if there is no hope, as like the rest of the world. When an unbeliever dies, when an unbeliever sorrows for an unbeliever, or even an unbeliever sorrow for anyone, how do they weep and cry? They weep and cry and weep and cry in great torment. Why? Because to them, death is final. To them, whatever words that they want to say, whatever apology that they needed to say but they could not say, because this person suddenly just died. And you held on to a grudge. And the last words that you had with that person were not very kind words. You quarreled. And then now this person did not come home forever. This person is not coming home forever. This person died. So you're full of grief, full of regret. And that kind of sorrow will weigh you down because it is so final. Isn't it? That's what Paul says. Even as others which have no hope, they really have no hope. No hope of meeting that person again. No hope of saying whatever you need to say to that person again. Because it was so final. And that was the old kind of sorrow. That was the kind of sorrow that we experienced when we were unbelievers, when someone dear to us passed away. My dad passed away when I was 17. I was not a believer. He was not a believer. Whether he heard the gospel before, I have no idea. I was not a believer. I didn't even know there was such a thing called the gospel of Jesus Christ. Nobody told us. I can still recall that kind of sorrow. We were children. We all had to kneel down. People keep on coming. It was a Chinese kind of a funeral. There was mourning, there was weeping, there was crying. Nobody talks about hope. Nobody talks about seeing my dad again. None of these things. It was very final. That was the kind of death that we experience as unbelievers, for unbelievers. But the moment you become a child of God, and then when you think of the death of another child of God, don't sorrow as if there is no hope. The Bible did not say do not sorrow. The Bible says do not sorrow as if, like those who have no hope. That means you sorrow with hope. The Bible did not say don't sorrow at all. Not to cry when someone dear to you dies is foolishness. It is to deny the feeling and the hurt and the pain that is in your heart. Even though you know that you will meet this person again, that does not mean that you're not going to feel the pain and the loss of not seeing that person. That's how God has made us, with heart, with feelings, with emotions. And as Christians, our feelings and emotions are even more alive now than when we were unbelievers. It is now far more sensitive to the pain and to the love, because now with the love of God in us, the bonds that we build are far more stronger than we could ever build without this love of God in us. And because the stronger the bond, the stronger the love, the deeper the hurt, the deeper the pain when the loss comes. We all know that. I mean, for example, when a parent sends a son or daughter away back to school, you know you're going to see the daughter again in 9 months' time, for example. 9 months' time. The parting is only 9 months, and now you have Skype, you have all kinds of phone, you have all kinds of gadgets to still communicate and still see each other, and yet when they say bye-bye, they still cry. True? Why? There's nothing wrong. We're just saying that you should not cry. It's okay to cry. Why? Because of the pain and the sorrow. Because your child has never left home at all. Your child has never left home for so long or by herself before. And now suddenly you have to send the child off. The child has grown up and you know that the child is able to take care of himself or herself. And yet that parting of 6 to 9 months is still so painful, isn't it? Nothing wrong. And yet you know you're going to see that person very soon, eye to eye, touch, because the child will come back, and the child will come back in 9 months' time. And yet you still feel the pain. Don't deny sorrow. Embrace it, accept it, but do it according to the scriptures. Only for believers, when a believer passes away, then this verse 13 applies. You have this blessed hope. How do you have this hope? Don't you want this hope? If you are not a believer, and when a believer dies, this verse is not for you also. It is a sorrow of saints, for saints. It is not sorrow of sinners for saints. Because if you are a sinner, you die in your sin without Christ, you will end up in hell. That child of God, that child of yours who have accepted Christ, will go to heaven, but not you. That's why it is sorrow of saints, for saints. You must have this hope, and this hope is not yours if you are still a sinner and not a saint. You cannot claim this comfort. You cannot claim this hope. This hope is not yours. When your son who is a Christian, when your father who is a Christian, and you are not a Christian, you cannot say see you. You have to say goodbye. That's what it means. See you means the parting is temporal. Goodbye means the parting is permanent and very final. You're not going to meet again. Understand that the only gift that God gives to us on this earth, that we can bring with us to heaven, are our children. Nobody else, nothing else. Not your car, not your house, not your money, not your awards, not your accolades, whatever status and title that you may have earned on this earth, all these will vanish, will disappear, will be destroyed when this earth is destroyed. Because none of these things can become Christians except your children. That's why, parents, you want to focus so hard on your child's future on this earth, preparing them with all kinds of tuition and education for life ahead as an adult on this earth, that they have good jobs, all this. You are short-sighted. You must prepare them for the life after this life, not for the life to come in this life, on this earth. Because you are a child of God, you should know better. Because if you don't, check your salvation. Because how can you not give to your children the very best? Because the very best that you could give to them as Christian parents is not another new car. It's not a good education. It is Jesus Christ. Don't you realize that? Otherwise, this passage is not yours. You are a Christian. Yes, praise the Lord. Thank God for that. But if your son, your daughter, you push them into the way of the world, you just ask them to study hard, study hard, study hard. Why? Because that's where your future is. You must get that piece of paper. Without that piece of paper from university, you will not get a good job and you will not have a good, comfortable life. Then you are a fool. Don't you think so? Because then it will be the sorrow of a saint for a sinner. When they leave you, when you leave them, and if they do not become Christians after you die, and you have been pushing them in the way of the world, and they embrace the world, and they love the world, you have no one to blame but yourself. Because when the child is like soft, pliable clay, they are in your hands as a Christian. You have the Word of God. You can shape them and you can mold them, you can guide them, because when they are very pliable, you have overall 100% control over their mind, educating them, teaching them what is right and what is wrong, and every passing year is a year of shaping and molding to become like Christians or like the world. Your choice. And when they grow up, they know the difference between the right hand and the left hand, and that means they 6 or 7 years old, 8 years old at most, they should be able to say, Mom and Dad, I have seen Christ in your life. Please teach me how to be a Christian. I now also want to believe in Jesus Christ, because I have seen Christ in the way that you and Mom love one another. I have seen Christ in your life, how you care for one another. Please teach me how to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior as well. Because I also want Him to be my Lord and my Savior, because I have seen Him in your life. Don't you long for that day? Don't you aim for that day? Keep on pushing them. Get tuition, math, science, Chinese, English, all these. You're preparing them for the world that is now. But what about the world that is to come? What they need is Christ, not that piece of paper from the university. Their future is in God's hands, not in your hands, not in their hands, not in the hands of some university professors. Everywhere they go, teach them. Please teach them. It is an avenue for you to serve the Lord. Be the best primary school student. Be the best secondary school student. Not in terms of results, in terms of testimony. In terms of Christian testimony, all the days of their lives, even in university, it is a time of ministry. After finishing your studies, you go to work. It's the same principle. It is an avenue for you to be an ambassador for Christ and be a godly testimony. That's what life is. And that's what you must remind your children. Don't teach them to measure themselves by the size of their cars and their houses and all these things. Then how are you different from the world? You measure them, you tell them, you measure yourself in your relationship with Jesus Christ, with God. And if you are a child of God, no one can take that away from you. And that is who you are. You are not measured by the titles that you get from studies. Now you are a PhD. PhD sounds like some kind of disease. PhD. Like STD, right? PhD. Some kind of disease. isn't it? You spend your lifetime getting something and you think that you have got it all. You have gotten nothing. It will disappear. What you need is Jesus Christ. And that will avail you with the blessed hope. Don't need to fear death. Now, how to get this hope? Verse 14. If we believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again, that's as simple as that. If you believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and is your Savior, that He died for you, not that He died for the world, that's correct, but He died for you in particular, you have to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And this belief is a continuous belief that you will start to believe and you will continue to believe all the rest of your life until you die. You don't stop, you don't believe only on Sunday. And then Monday to Saturday, you don't believe. You don't believe right now when you are young. You believe the moment you believe and you believe until you die. That's what it means. And that He rose again from you, that means He has defeated death for you on your behalf so that you don't have to fear death. Death to you is going home, is graduation. Death means my life on earth serving the Lord is now over. No need to write elder's page anymore. No need to conduct any more Bible studies. No need to teach in FEBC anymore. It's all done. No need to prepare notes. No need to prepare quizzes. No need to prepare exams. All finished. Come home. It's done. That's what death is for the Christian. Because God has defeated death for me through Jesus Christ. Absent from the body, this body remains behind, but my spirit is in heaven. How do we know that our spirit is in heaven? How do we know that? People tell us that, isn't it? Absent from the body, present with the Lord, saved in the arms of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we sing. Now, how do we know that? The Bible says so in verse 4. Even so them also we sleep in Jesus. That means not only you who have believed in Christ, that is the sorrow of the saints. For the saints, even so them which also sleep in Jesus, you and those who have died in Christ, will God bring with Him? Now, God cannot bring anyone with Him if they are not already with Him, right? That's why the word used is bring. If my son is at home and I'm here in church, I cannot say I'm going to bring him with me unless I go back home to fetch him, right? Unless he's with me, I can't say I bring him with me, right? So he has to be with me before I can bring him. So when the Bible here says God will bring with Him all those who have died in Christ, all those who are asleep in Jesus, that means they are now with God, isn't it? Otherwise, how can God bring them with Him if they are not with Him right now? That's the meaning of the verse, of the word, bring. That's how important it is. Every jot and tittle inspired by God, God knows exactly what He used to describe this very important event that He says, I don't want anyone to be ignorant of. That's how we know for every believer. The moment you close your eyes and you breathe your last breath in this earthen vessel, there is no soul sleep, there is no purgatory. Immediately, instantaneously, the whole environment changes. Let's say you are in hospital, with all the tubes all inside your body and so on, helping you to breathe. They switch off the machine. You breathe your last breath. The people on earth, they weep, they sorrow, they see you leaving this world, fly away as it were. But for you, as a child of God, what has happened is that the environment, at first it was in a hospital with all your loved ones on earth. The next thing, when you stop breathing, you are now transported into the very presence of God, and now you are in the presence of God instantaneously in spirit form. That's what it is. That's what death means. Now, of course, I'm not sharing this with you from experience. Huh? It is based upon the Bible's truth. This is from the teaching of God's word. I've not been there and back. Right? I'm not some of these books that you read, not this person who has died and then he came back from the dead and then he now wrote a book and tell you, this is all from the Bible. That means God's word. It's not my word. It is far better because my experience, no count. That's why Peter says, we have a more sure word. Don't let our doctrines be based upon man's experiences. Let it be based upon God's truth. Now, this is what God's word says. You will never die. God will bring all these who are asleep in Jesus with Him. That means they are with Him right now. Every tense, every word inspired by God, no mistake. And God is very precise and very accurate, especially when it comes to comforting our heart. The only way you can have this hope is that you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of us can. All you need to do is to cry to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are not a believer, you know that you are a sinner. We all have sinned. We all have told lies before. We all have experienced the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh. We all have. And the pride of life is the worst. Don't let the pride in your heart prevent you from accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior. God the Father loved you when you were His enemies. You don't even know Him, but He sent Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, to die for His enemies, that's you and me. And all you need to do is to cry to God, Lord, save me. I am a sinner. I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and as my Savior from the depths of my soul. Unconditionally, I surrender my life to Him. Forgive me of all my sins through Jesus Christ. And I want Jesus Christ to come into my heart and be my Lord and be my Savior. That's what it means. And I know that Jesus Christ rose from the dead on the third day after He died for my forgiveness, for my justification. Forgive me, Lord. That's all it takes, from the heart. And you will be transformed from a sinner to a saint. That whatever sorrow that you may encounter in the future, and there will be many, the deeper the love, the deeper the relationship, the deeper the bond, the deeper the pain. We all know that. We all have experienced that. But don't shy away from relationships. Develop more relationships and let them be deeper and stronger with every passing moment, so that when you experience the sorrow, and they will come, never sorrow without hope, the hope of meeting that brother, that sister, once more. And this time round, it will be forever. And God will bring them with Him. And there will be no more parting, no more tears, no more farewell, no more goodbye. Only an eternal, blessed time together with the Lord. When we say that every Sunday worship service is a foretaste of heaven, and that's exactly what it is. The saints will be all gathered together, worshipping the Lord in the presence of God forever. The difference between now and eternity is, now it's over soon. But in eternity, oh, there will still be time. But it will never be over. No more goodbye, no more world to go back to work, and no more service. It's only worship and more worship and praising the Lord. Because once you arrive in heaven, you're going to see Christ. You're going to be in the glory of God, and you're going to bask in the glory of God. And how wonderful it is. There'll be no more sin, no more death, no more evil. Only a wonderful, wonderful, blessed time of great rejoicing. And our hearts will be so full of gratitude and thanksgiving for the great work that the Lord Jesus Christ has done for me, an undeserving sinner, that Jesus Christ would love me so much to give His life to save me. That's why it is so important to realize this, because it must impact your life of service on this earth. That's why your life on this earth is so precious. It is limited, and it's only now that you can believe in Christ. It is only now that you can serve Christ. Don't run away. Don't just disappear. Stay. Join fellowship groups. Join Bible study groups. And by all means, try to attend the church camp. Please. This coming year. Next year. Try to attend the church camp. Because that is another best time for us to come together, push aside the things of the world, and have Christian fellowship around God's word and around the table with one another. Those moments are very, very blessed, very rich, and that's the best time for your children, if you have children, to get them to build up good Christian friends that will help them grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. If they have worldly friends, they're going to marry unbelievers, and your nightmare will begin. And it is your fault. Because when they are young, you could have surrounded them with godly Christian friends. You did not. You shy away. You ran away. And now your child, your son, your daughter, they are paying the price of your failure. Don't let that happen. Teach them. Guide them. Yes, they will have school friends to help them with schoolwork. But the social life, the life that is far more significant and important, let it be with fellow godly Christian friends. And through the fellowships, through Christian fellowships during camp time, they're going to build bonds, strong bonds, that will help them encourage one another in the things of the Lord. The blessings are innumerable. It's tremendous. You have to experience it to know it yourself. So that when sorrow comes, you will know how to cope, because it will never be a sorrow without hope. For you have Jesus Christ, our blessed eternal hope. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, O Lord, for salvation so rich and so free that we have in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, that there will be none who will leave this sanctuary not having accepted Christ as Lord and as a Savior. May Thy Holy Spirit, O Lord, speak to every heart, that we may understand that in this life there will be sorrow, and there is no sorrow as painful and as deep as the sorrow of death. And we pray, Father, that as your children, that even as we sorrow, may we never sorrow without the hope of one day meeting our departed loved ones who have also died in Jesus Christ. For he is or she is but asleep, and one day he will rise from sleep. And we thank Thee, Father, for this wonderful, wonderful truth that You have given to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. May we continue to live for the Savior, knowing that there is nothing on this earth that can frighten us, that can separate us from Christ and from one another, all because of our Savior. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for Thy glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.